Good afternoon, everybody. Good evening, good morning, wherever you are, whenever you are listening to the program or to a replay or an audio. And this is Terry Brown, co-host for the Wynn Free Show. Wynn is out rounding up the people on the conference line. This is a simulcast with people on the conference line and people on VBS Radio. So he should be with us shortly. And this is the 24th of October, 2011. And I don't know what the topic's going to be. I never know what the topic's going to be beforehand. And I don't want to know because then I might worry about it. And so very often I do channeling on the show in the later part of the show. And I'm just then able to connect with the group that I channel is Ra-On, which is a combination of the Ra group and of the Elohim group. They want to combine to provide the highest, the largest bandwidth possible that people would be able to connect.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Are you still there, Susan?
Ask questions of. So, do we have Wynn on the show yet?
Yes, we do.
Ladies and gentlemen, Wynn Free.
Ladies and gentlemen. Now, how do you know they're ladies and gentlemen
out
there?
Girls. Children?
Boys and girls? Ladies and gentlemen. All right. I think, ladies and gentlemen, oh, I see. Can you hear Heisa saying, Wynn, start the tape recorder? Hang on a second.
And you get all star children and...
Please enter your PIN, followed by pound.
Wanderers.
Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
This is Monday, October 24th, and my name is Wynn Free, and tonight we have our weekly Monday event where we hold conversations with an intelligence in another dimension. Or other dimensions. And we just had somebody check in. Hang on.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Would you like to say your name and your city? Well, that's okay. Let's start with a J. Tap your phone if it starts with a J.
Starts with a J? Or starts with a T, maybe.
Tap your phone if it starts with T. Okay. Was that a tap, Terry?
yeah, it sounded like a tap there.
So it must be a T-tap. Was that a T-tap or a teetotaler? Well, I don't hear any giggles. Usually she'll giggle. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a metaphysical show.
But it might be another T.
Another T. Okay. Well,
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Whoever they are, they're muted. And
entry and exit chimes are off.
Okay. So on our Monday calls, we pick topics. And was that you, Terry?
No.
Was that somebody tapping on their microphone?
Sounded like it.
Sounded like it, didn't it? But they're supposed to be muted. But
yeah.
Who knows? So we ask questions. We pick a topic and ask questions. Now, when I said we are speaking to an intelligence in another dimension or other dimensions, I should say the intelligence has actually explained that they were here before there was a physical universe. And there was a group of them that collaborated in creating the first solid matter and ultimately DNA. And we've had a number of questions on how all that worked. And, you know, if they are who they say they are, and we're having these conversations here, this is a fairly extraordinary event, a notable event, to be doing live. And I thank all of you who are listening, supporting the energy for this to occur. So we are going to go backwards. Last week, I believe it was last week, we were talking about a continuing story of how humans were created. And many things came out that I don't believe have ever been brought out before. In other words, information that maybe is being revealed for the first time, some aspects of it, to mankind. So we're doing that right here on PBS Radio. So I don't know what's going to come out this week, but we picked a topic about atoms and molecules. And we had the caveat that we hope that we have the vocabulary to understand this, because we're going back to an arena where we may not be able to understand it completely. I know there's been times when I've asked questions and they've answered it and I couldn't understand it, couldn't grasp it. So we'll try to keep it simple and we'll try to figure out what they mean and keep asking questions until we narrow it down. And let's see, on that note, it is 6:06. We're starting early. Are you ready, Terry?
Okay.
Are you getting nervous?
Yeah. Now that I know the topic.
All right. Well, we'll try to keep it simple. I sent in the email that we'll do the best we can, considering your limited vocabulary and my limited vocabulary. In fact, maybe...
And the English language limited vocabulary.
And the English language limited vocabulary, because there's probably a lot of stuff here that there's no words for, that no one's ever had to ask about it before. And both Terry and I, at one point in our lives, were in university studying physics. So, in spite of that, we're probably fairly inadequate for this job, but we'll do what we can. And on that note,
and may I say that I think what Terry did last week was just wonderful, Terry, and there's absolutely nothing to be nervous about. It's you're doing fantastic.
Thank you.
Did you ever watch Johnny Carson?
I don't think so.
No? You know who he was?
It sounds familiar, the name, but I can't think of it. Is he a singer or an actor?
You must be too young. Johnny Carson had the most popular... He was... Before Jay Leno was Johnny Carson.
Okay.
You ever watch Jay Leno?
I have watched him, yes.
So prior to Jay Leno, Johnny Carson was the most famous, successful talk show, late-night talk show host in America. Mm-hmm. And I think he was better than Jay Leno, and I think he was more natural. And I was just thinking, he had a person on his show with him. You remember who the person on the show was, Terry?
You mean Ed?
Ed, right. Ed McMahon, right?
Yeah.
So Heise is like Ed McMahon. He's coming up, shoring. Whenever anything gets a little weak, he comes up and shores it up, fixes it, patches it. So thank you, Heise. Now, I don't know if I'm like Johnny Carson's, but if Johnny Carson was interviewing Moses, it probably would have been in the right ballpark. But in any case, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, Terry, myself, and Hines, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the galaxy, the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy fields of the Earth, through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection amongst all of us present. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is October 24th, 2011. We take a look at the entity Terry's phone is ringing. Give us a moment. We are mindful of the theme for the topic tonight of atoms, and we look and we see that everything is in motion, and motion is what generates the opportunity for the molecules and for the atoms to occur. And there are vortexes within the molecules and the atoms, which allows for the manifestation of these particles. Do you have further questions?
So could we say ultimately those particles don't exist, but they're really just waveforms in motion that are stabilized?
This brings in the question of existence, and it is generally thought that these exist. And existence comes about through the manifestation and the condensation or the bringing about of the condensation of the motion into the realm where then they can be said to exist, much as when you have a movie that is the resultant of a number of frames, the condensation is what the motion is, what eventually, when you get it to a certain vibratory rate, brings forth the manifestation of existence. So it starts with a motion, an intention for emotion, and then emotion, and a condensation of frames into a vibration that then is said to have existence, and one can observe it at that point. Does that answer your question?
Kind of. When before there was any physical universe, what was the first thought or the first idea that went through the consciousness of the awareness of the Elohim that made them think that a physical universe was possible?
There is one being behind all, and it is the one being who generated the idea of there being more. And much as a person may have a child, then the Elohim became the child and children of the one being.
Was the one being...
What?
Was the one being organizing the idea of creating a physical universe through the Elohim who were carrying out its plan?
As the one being... began to have awareness and consciousness, it played around with the idea of localizing this consciousness, this thoughtfulness, and to nurture it. And so in the Vajrayana was born.
So in the formulation, was there an idea of what to do, or was it just experimentation?
There was a great love for a nurtured manifestation, and then this manifestation began to experiment on its own. It was still a child of the one.
began to experiment on its own. Were there beings in it at that moment, at that time of experimenting, or was the actual first solidification experimenting?
It began much as a child begins to experience and begins to wish to explore its environment and began to have, so to speak, conversations with the all. And it was not very physical at the start. When different manifestations began to develop, then they learned to come back upon themselves and learned about vibratory patterns beginning to develop.
If we look at the universe and the first aspect of the universe, was the universe alive, so to speak? In other words, when we look at a galaxy and we look at a planet, we think of things that are very large and that they're subsets of solar systems, planets, and beings on planets. But when there was the first beginning of persistence and universe, would it be as if a galaxy was a head, and a solar system was a foot, and that they were all working together in an aliveness and a self-awareness in its unfoldment? I don't know if I've said that correctly, but do you understand my meaning?
Yes, however, it was not exactly like that. There were subsets developed within subsets, and they were all manifestations coming out of the one, and there were energy streams depending upon the relationship that had been set about at the beginning of the manifestation stream. And the individuals then became localized. So it is not as if it were a hand and a foot. It were as if nested subsets occurred.
And when was the first idea of an atom brought into the picture? Was that brought in by the external Elohim, or was that a creation of the consciousness of the realm?
This was brought into effect as a subset, as a nested subset of the larger subset, and was a natural result of the spinningnesses in the nested groups.
And the atom was, you know, DNA is a reflector or a microcosm. Is the atom a microcosm as well?
It is a microcosm of a larger subset, and it is a building block of matter that manifests out of the larger subset.
And who created the first atom? Was there a first atom created?
There was many atoms created as a result of a galaxy with, in the galaxy, the spinningness being spun off, the opportunity for DNA, and moving down the chain of manifestation into an atom, which was a stabilization of the larger moving spiraling masses. Do you have further questions?
Yes. How did the atoms group into molecules?
It is through charged electronic charges, differentials within the subset, the nested result from the larger spinning masses as they spin with different speeds, and they collect in different streams. Collecting atoms, collecting particles of like charges that then grow to a molecular structure based upon their spin orientation and their frequency and their intensity and their charge.
How about all the different elements? You know, we have all these silver, gold, all these unique elements. That how are they visualized? Is that something that happens spontaneously, or was that an external creation? downloaded into this realm.
Give us a moment. As an area within the condensing material forms, there are areas of different potential that then manifest out into, say, one mineral or a mixture of minerals, and the conditions within that area, which is we consider three-dimensional, moves, isolates, and the resulting surrounding conditions indicate what is the final result, whether this will turn out to be one element or another element. It depends upon not only the material, but the surrounding material and conditions of heat and electrical potential in the condensation of matter in the area, whether the material turns out to be silver or gold or platinum.
Now, you know, there is one consciousness that moves through the entire universe. I shouldn't say you know that. That's my understanding. But that's how it works. So within that one consciousness is everything, including the physical objects, I assume, including the atoms. So how does it work within consciousness that someone can bend a spoon? How does that happen on an atomic molecular level?
Thank you. Well, first of all, the all that is, the consciousness, the awareness of the one is at a different frequency than the manifest universe, however, has access to it all and is beyond it, beyond the physical universe. So you ask the question then, how can a person bend the spoon? A person has a field, an electrical field, that can interact with the molecular structure within the spoon to soften it, to create a situation of weakness in a certain area of it where it is intended, that then the spoon can be bent or can move double over or can twist it easily when the person twists it.
In a circumstance where somebody can walk over hot coals and not get burned, which some people do, can you explain the hyperdimensional physics that occurs when somebody does that?
The universe is put together and operates on belief systems. So one can step outside of it by changing a particular belief within the system. Individuals are senior to the physical universe and can abide by the laws of the physical universe as they have been set up by consensus agreement, or can step outside of them and as such not be governed by them and can be governed by other beliefs.
Well, that is a very big concept to work with, since we have a bunch of humans listening who would probably say they're governed by their belief systems. How far can that go in a human? In other words, if a human stops believing something is impossible, what are the limits of the execution of that, those possibilities?
The limits will go where the individual goes. However, one, to be not governed by the rules of the physical universe, can step outside of them, but must also, when they are in a body system within the physical universe, and the body has molecular consciousness that is moving with the consensus, one must be able to move all of the consciousness within the self with him or her to manifest outside the realm.
I lost that. A consciousness must move. Could you say that again?
When an individual is moving beyond the consensus reality and moving out of the belief systems that govern the universal law, then they, when they are in a body, must move that new belief system through the consciousness of all the molecules in the body, as well as their own belief, so that when they move outside of the manifest realm in their beliefs, that they do not leave behind their, if they take their body with them, or if they are still walking on fire, they can move the whole body into the zone where it is outside of the belief system that the body will be burned. And they move into a new belief system that the body won't be burned. And they need to take their body with them in that belief. They need to imbue the body and the cells of the body with that belief also for them to not be burned.
Mm-hmm. I imagine this works for healing as well, yes? Same principle.
Yes, the same principle. This is where you can get people suddenly being cured of a disease when the doctors are very confused and do not believe it can be reversed.
When this circumstance happens, would there be a higher intelligence that's joining with the human intelligence, or could the human do it totally by themselves?
The being that all is of all is with each and every one, and they can make an overlay where they attempt to be totally separate. And yet, the consciousness, the all, grants free will. And therefore, the individual can appear to be separate.
In one of our earlier sessions, it was discussed that there were more than one universe existing simultaneously. And when the one infinite creator gave birth to the individuation of the Elohim, was there an awareness and a memory and a working knowledge of other universes that had gone through this process and perhaps were ahead of this one, so to speak?
We see separate realms that have been created at different times, and the creation of these flowed in a similar way between them, or one in manifesting that universe experienced similar flows and experiences to the other universe and so forth. For each of the universes, they were developed similarly, although at different timelines and separate locations, which locations were defined as a result of the manifestation coming about.
I'm not sure I understood that.
The universes, as they developed separately and independently, followed similar guidelines as they developed, although they were developed independently.
And when we say the one infinite creator, was that the one infinite creator of all the universes, or just our universe?
It is the one being. That is all and ever lasting and ever will be. And we find it that words do not really apply, as because by putting this into language, we are putting it as separate from ourselves. However, we are all part of the one infinite creator.
When we're on this line and we're in groups and we feel this incredible energy that comes in, which we identify as coming from the source, is that energy the source or is it a projection of the source?
The energy is a manifestation that has come out of the intelligent fork radiation and has been generated. The one being is of non-material, an awareness that is non-material, and as far as the material universe does not, so to speak, exist, but does exist as far as conscious awareness. Intelligent awareness.
So we as humans can temporarily become one with that awareness. Yes? Is that true?
We are one with that awareness. We can pretend that we aren't. We can separate ourselves from it in thought and in countenance. However, we are one with it.
If we experience ourselves as one with that awareness, in the moment of that experience, would we lose our own identity? Our own individuation?
Yes.
Yes?
Because your individuation is picked up and is congealed in, is experienced and is expressed by you. However, the individual who you are as you get more advanced, then you move through periods where your identity is not that important as you become a part more and experience more of all that is. You move closer to the truth in the third dimension. Third density, you are individuated. In the fourth, you are individuated. And as you move higher in the dimensions, you see yourself more as a part of the group, and as such, you can lose your sense of identity, and then as you move higher in the densities, you again have your own sense of identity, but at a more advanced level, wherein you then can, depending upon your focus, you can experience others and what they are going through. And you have greater ability and range of perception and psychicness as you move into an understanding and a connection of your brothers and sisters and energy entities that have even never had bodies.
There are people that do what's called psychic surgery, where if that is true, if they really do what it appears that they're doing, they put their hand right through the atoms and the molecules of a person's body, and they grab hold of something like a tumor or something, and they take their hand and pull it back out with the diseased tissue or something like that. Is this a manifestation of living beyond the laws of this universe? Obviously it is, but maybe you can share something about that and the way it relates to this conversation.
As an individual moves into the higher densities and the ability to move in and out of densities, one can have control and can have 3D perception of what is inside another's body and can be able to envision difficult areas and be able to holistically to perceive at the third density level and a higher density level where they may have control of movement through third density and may so move to heal that it takes a great skill and a great awareness and the ability to move without the third density normal countenance of separation, as one is able to encompass more than one dimension at once.
What is happening to the atoms and the molecules when this is occurring?
The atoms and molecules are responding to the higher intelligence and awareness, and with great affinity and great skill, one can move them around and move them into healing formation and see what it is that needs to be corrected. One of the signs is where flow is stopped, which shows up is a darkness in an area. As one looks at the, we have no words for this in the English language. X-ray would be close, but It is not an X-ray. It is a 3D perception of the inside of the biological system that is perceived by the being with the sharper awareness and skills.
Thank you. When we talk about things like psychic surgeons and walking on water and bending spoons, is this the same kind of phenomena that would be compared to the time of Jesus? Of course, we don't have verification that this actually happened, but assuming it did, that he walked on water with that same energy or any of the other miracles that were produced historically around the one known as Jesus.
Yes. This would take an individual, which is Jesus was, who had a grasp over more than one density at a time and was able to speak with the matter and to move it into confirmation or the formation of his choice.
Thank you.
This takes a very perceptive, skilled, and non-egotistical being who is able to be one with the surroundings of the densities.
You know, we've created a beautiful space in this conversation, and we have a few minutes left. Perhaps we can take some silence, and you can join with us, or we can join with you in the intention of planetary healing. Not a long verbal thing, just a quiet one, and use all of our abilities to operate multidimensionally in this intention. Is that okay with you to do that?
Yes.
So we'll just be silent for a few minutes and hold space. Okay. We thank you so much. And if you have any closing words.
In this space that we have set up between individuals that are listening or will listen or will read any transcripts, we send love, light, and we experience the sanctity of the connection. And there are no words for how much we appreciate the opportunity to connect with each and every one of you who wishes to be connected with Adonai.
Thank you. All
callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
We've just unmuted everybody, and we'll see you all next time. Thank you for being here, and thank you so much. Thank you, Terry, so much.
Thank you, Terry.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Terry.
Thank you, Winnie Terry,
and everyone.
Thanks, Winnie Terry.
Good night. Thank you,
Anna Terry. Love to you all.
The following conference commands are available. To hear your the following conference commands are available. To hear your participants count, to stop conference recording, press 1. To your conference recording has stopped.